Did perimenopause or menopause catch you off guard? Weird symptoms appearing from nowhere, wondering who is this person who's inhabiting your body? And most of all, having no one to talk to about it? It happened to me too. And with all the chaos that it was causing me, I knew I had to figure it out. I dug in, reading often outdated books and searching obscure references on the internet. I learned how our shifting reproductive hormones mess with every cell in our bodies. And as I realized how complete this hormonal disruption was, I became determined to help other women understand and control their own menopause journey. Because menopause matters. And here, we talk about all things menopause. I'm your host, Jean Andrus, and this is Menopause Matters, the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Jean Andrus, the menopause guru, and this is Menopause Matters, where we talk all things menopause. And today I have a special treat for you. I have with me Heather Shannon. She is a certified sex therapist and host of the chart-topping Ask a Sex Therapist podcast. With over 12 years in private practice, Heather helps people in committed relationships who have lost their sexy spark to feel close and passionate again. Heather has been featured in publications such as Cosmopolitan, Women's Health, Glamour, Self Magazine, as well as podcasts including Shameless Sex and The Horny Housewife. She is a sex and relationship expert for the Peanut app, which serves 2.5 million women throughout all stages of life. Welcome, Heather. It is so good to have you here today. Let's talk sex and
let's get into it. Thanks for having
me. I'm going to put this out here right now. Nobody's going to care. This is going to be an explicit episode. I'm going to put it out in the show notes, so you know, but Heather and I are not going to watch our mouths and try and talk our way around subjects.
She just showed me her pens and even they were explicit.
My pens are explicit. So Heather, welcome. Tell me a little bit about how you got started in this particular field.
Yeah, it was a winding road. I will say that I definitely wasn't like a child thinking, I can't wait to be a sex therapist when I grow up. But, you know, I started out college as a math major. I got a finance degree. So really, really did a 180. I was a market research analyst for a year after college. And then I kind of had this like quarter life crisis thing. And I was like, I don't mind working hard, but I need to care about what I'm doing. And I wound up running into my dad's cousin at a family party. And she was kind of like, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. I got certified as a life coach. And I was like, ooh, that sounds cool. And it was like Oprah had like just mentioned like Martha Beck or something as like the first life coach. It was something along those lines. It was like very, very early days for that. And I had been really intrigued about it. And so she had offered, let me coach you for 10 sessions for free. Just like really, really kind person. She was amazing. She was a very happy, joyful person who just like spread good vibes. And so she coached me for 10 sessions. And I explored, being a school counselor. I explored industrial organizational psychology. Through the process of working with her, I explored coaching. And really, probably coaching was my favorite. But at the time, I'm like, I'm 22. Like, who's going to hire a 22-year-old life coach? You know what I mean? Like, I haven't lived enough or I haven't, you know, done something so extraordinary yet. Knowing what I know now, I probably would have been able to, like, market myself or find a niche. But I was like, you know, let's get a master's in counseling. And I could be a therapist in private practice. And that sounds like a great option for me and very similar. So I wound up actually getting a master's in school counseling and, you know, because I was going to get summers off and it was going to pay me more and I could still get the supervision towards private practice. So eventually I got into private practice in 2011. So actually I need to update that bio. It's been over 13 years now, but, I started doing that and, you know, people came in for anxiety. I worked with a lot of type A people. People came in for compulsive behaviors. And no matter why people came in, everybody talked about the relationships. And I was like, wow, this is fascinating. Like, everyone winds up talking about relationships. That's how important they are in our lives. And then I started specializing in that. And then people came in and started talking about their sex life more. And then it was like, oh, interesting. I had a long-term relationship ed, and I was like, there's some sexual things I want to explore and figure out about myself. So it was really kind of that combination of just life taking me in my winding path and some clients being very brave and open and talking about sexual orientation and sexual trauma and religious trauma related to sex and how it intersected with substance abuse. And so it just really hit home for me. Like, this is so core to who we are and affects every other area of our life. And I love it. And it's interesting. And it's holistic. And I feel like I'm really able to be that safe space for people. So that's a long answer.
Long answers are sometimes good. And yeah. In that case, it was.
Thank you.
So we kind of decided on a topic. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about a couple of things. But one of the big things that we wanted to talk about was uncovering our unconscious sex beliefs. And
yeah.
I think I'm going to start, before we get there, talking a little bit about sex and menopause, because mm-hmm. menopause can do some totally bizarre things to our sexual relationships. Mm-hmm. First of all, And I'm going to go back to my own personal story. And this is, you know, a lot of it is 20 years old. And when I was first discovering I was in perimenopause, I was in perimenopause for a number of years before this, but I was first discovering my own perimenopausal journey. Part of that was a profound disgust with my body. I was overweight. I had not, the relationship with my then husband, now ex, was that midlife emptiness, bad, low libido. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't, the relationship wasn't good, nor was my relationship with myself particularly good. So my libido was tanking. And I found myself just recoiling from being in a sexual relationship because I was so dissatisfied with myself mm-hmm. and with him. Then, after we broke up, I found myself in a new relationship, an exciting relationship. Okay. And my libido reemerged very strongly for a number of years. And then I got into the point of vaginal atrophy and tightness, dryness, and all of that. So my sexual relationship and just life intervenes. My sexual relationship has gone back down. So this kind of what I want to emphasize on this is this kind of fluctuation of where you are sexually, not just from being able to perform, because some of that is, you know, physical. My sexual relationship has to be different. I can't do penetrative sex with my husband now because he is thick. And I don't have the stretchability mm-hmm. to take him. So our sexual life is a little different. Mm-hmm. When it happens, it's good, but mm-hmm. it's different. And so I want to emphasize that wherever you are, whatever's happening in your life, it's probably normal. It may not be where you want to be, mm-hmm. but it's probably not abnormal, and it's probably where you can having a little trouble saying this, but you can make it different, but don't make yourself wrong for where you are right now.
I love that message. That's such an important message. And I love that you got like specific about your situation because people don't talk about that enough. Yeah. And people need to know like, hey, this isn't weird. And I also think taking the emphasis off penetrative sex, which is problematic for people of many stages of life, as well as people who are not heterosexual, you know? Yeah. So I think realizing like, you know, penis vagina sex is not the only sex.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it is as much about the relationship as it is about the sex. However, right. What I want to say though, too, is if you are in a spot where you are not able to have penetrative sex, where sex mm-hmm. is uncomfortable, there are things that you can do. And there are things that you can do that are not hormonally based. So, mm-hmm. One of these days, I'm actually going to find somebody to have an episode on Mona Lisa Touch, which is a vaginal resurfacing technique using lasers that is possible to change the way your vagina is acting. So getting rid of that atrophy. So all of that said, let's talk about what we believe about sex. So there's one.
Yeah.
There's one that sex has to be a certain way.
Right.
Even, you know, if you are heterosexual or in a same-sex relationship, mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be the same way. So let's go there for a few minutes.
Yeah, it is so unconscious sometimes, you know, like people will come to me often thinking like, oh, okay, we just feel like roommates and, you know, we kind of lost that spark and we need some help. And we wind up finding things out like when you had a hysterectomy, you stopped feeling like a sexy woman, you know, or we wind up finding out things like once you got past the age of procreation, you felt like you were too old to continue having sex. And that's because that's what the church taught you, that sex is for procreation. And that belief has been lingering under there. So there's really infinite unconscious beliefs that people can have. And it's like until we really start getting curious and doing some digging and talking about it, we might not realize how much that's impacting us. You know, I remember even for myself, and this is, you know, well before I was a sex therapist, you know, there was kind of an idea, there was a lot of like slut shaming ideas that I feel like I had embedded for myself. Mm. Sometimes now that can be fun to play with, you know, I think that's where the idea of like existential kink comes in, where we take something that feels like, oh, this isn't what we're supposed to do, or, you know, I shouldn't want this, or whatever it is. And we find a way to make it pleasurable, lean into it, and really kind of like reclaim it in a way. So that could be the case for the number of sexual partners you had. You know, you might have a story or a belief about that. It might be, you know, oh, I shouldn't need to use sex toys because it should be like natural. It could be, you know.
That goes for lube too.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Yes, absolutely.
And that is hugely important for women in menopause. Let's stop at that one for a moment.
Yes, use lube, everyone listening.
It is perfectly normal for mm-hmm. you to no longer have that wet feeling.
Yeah.
That allows you to have penetrative or unpenetrative sex without hurting. And your vaginal tissues and your labia, and your clitoris, all of those tissues thin as mm-hmm. you're getting older. Mm-hmm. So lube is extremely important.
It really is.
And, you know, if you're starting to feel any of that, even during the middle of intercourse, you know, if you're feeling like, oh, well, boy, he's going like a stud today, but ow, I'm starting to hurt. Stop.
Yeah.
Grab the lube. Yes. Re-lube it up. Make it part of your sex play.
Yes.
Water-based or organic coconut oil are probably your two best choices. I'm not recommending any particular brand for type.
Yeah.
We had to go there.
Yeah, we have to get there. So yeah, I want to touch on a couple things that you just said. So I just started reading The Art of Receiving and Giving by Betty Martin. I'm actually interviewing her on my podcast on Monday. And she's kind of like a living legend, you know, in the field. But just reading the first 20-some pages of that book, it really touches on what you said about being able to stop in the middle. You know, I started crying reading the book last night because there's so much, there's so many areas where we almost like abandon ourselves. And she talks a lot about just basic touch exercises, like not even getting into the sexual realm. But it's like, okay, touch this person how you want to. And then they'll be like, okay, well, how do you want me to touch? No, no, you touch how you want to. And we're kind of abandoning our desire. Or when we're receiving touch, it's like, oh, it felt good for the first minute. But then the second and third minute, I kind of was just like tolerating it. And it's like, why are we doing that? You know, and it did make me really sad. Like,
and if you're in a relationship that's been going on for 20, 30 years, and many of us are, as we get into our 50s, we've been with the same partner for 20 some years, 30 some years, and sex has gotten into a pattern. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's gotten into that pattern because there are other people in the house, and we're, you know, or we're so tired or whatever.
Right.
But I think sometimes we're afraid to step out of that pattern because everybody's comfortable with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah. So the pattern might be, you know, like, okay, well, we do missionary, or we do a little oral, or we do some kissing, and then we do this, and then we do this. And that, you know, I don't know if I would say that's an unconscious belief, but it can become autopilot. It can become somewhat unconscious, where we're no longer really being, you know, present, fully present, you know? And I think that's what was hitting me about the book last night, is part of being present is being present to our own body and our own desires. And I think there is an unconscious belief there that most of us have about pleasing other people. You know, and even the idea of, and I don't think of myself as being a particular like people pleaser most of the time. Sometimes it sneaks up on me, you know, but I did with someone I dated last year, we did this like yoni massage activity, I guess, if you will. And it was really like I was one-sided receiving. And it was, you know, there was kind of a set of instructions that was kind of like, my job is not giving. My job is not worrying about him. His job is sort of like holding space for me and whatever comes up. And if I get emotional and if I, you know, orgasm or don't orgasm, that's his job to just like hold that space. And it was like a profound experience for me. I was so surprised. I thought it'd be like fun and interesting or something, you know, like I thought it would be more light. But like that presence and that like not having to worry about him and that like giving feedback just based on my own pleasure surprised me. It really surprised me. And I think it really reinforces what Betty Martin says in her book about saying when we need something to change, saying when like it doesn't feel good anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
So one thing here is that the same things might not feel the same way. And
very important. Yes.
Very important. Yeah. And I think in a lot of cases, and I, you know, I'm going back to the relationship that fell apart for me. We had gotten out of the habit of communicating about sex.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really important, I think, to take this communication. I wrote a book called Where Is My Wife and What Have You Done With Her? Because that's what he's thinking. He's thinking, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Who is this creature I am living with? And part of it is that we are coming back into that relationship after many years of being in this other relationship. And, you know, this relationship that is about getting to work on time, getting the kids to school on time, doing all the things that are part of being a member of the community, and mm-hmm. that people pleasing, you know, go back and listen to, I'm not going to do it today, but there's a whole thing about that, why we change from people pleasing to pleasing ourselves. Mm. And he doesn't get it. The same things are not happening to him. Different things are happening to him, but he does not know and nor understand what's happening to him. And if you are typical, not you, Heather, but you as a listener,
yeah.
are typical, he may not know huge amounts of things. Like, I have a whole section of that book that's called What's Behind the VJ, because he doesn't know.
No, he doesn't, I mean, he was taught, you know.
Yeah, he thinks the baby is in your vagina.
Yeah.
You know,
and I think you're uncovering a bunch more unconscious beliefs right now that, like, yeah. there's an unconscious belief that we should just know, yeah. right? A lot of people feel like, oh, it feels too vulnerable to ask, or it feels like I should just know this, especially when we get to midlife and beyond. It's kind of like, I'm not like 15. I shouldn't have to go learn this. But guess what? You never learned it. Yeah. No one did. Like, I had a client just say, I just learned what a clitoral hood is, you know, and he's a middle-aged man. And I'm like, you probably know more than 99% now.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And so I think that's another unconscious belief.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to go back to the slut shaming thing because it just.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
Just for a moment. As an adoptee, this is kind of an interesting thing for me, because what I found was I'm actually. Hopefully my husband's not yet. Actually, I am more comfortable with sex outside a sanctioned relationship. Hmm. And I think it has something to do with the unconscious belief that was built into me by the woman who raised me, my mom, about the woman who gave birth to me, my birth mother.
Oh, interesting.
So I find it, you know, I find it interesting that I am happier. Doesn't help that I am in a married relationship now, but that my relationship as a sexual woman is mm-hmm. actually happier outside of that married relationship, mm-hmm. which made that those wonderful 7 years between marriage wonderful. But it's, yeah. you know, and now. It's something that I haven't dealt with because I've been dealing with so many other things.
Yes. Life but, throws a lot of things at us.
You know, we are dealing with, and that's another thing that we need to kind of touch on, is we're yeah. dealing with the reemergence of trauma, let's say, mm-hmm. as menopausal women. I find in my practice all the time, women are, and maybe it's because of that whole people pleasing and shifting and putting ourselves in the center of our lives, that we take a trauma that happened prior, generally prior to perimenopause, mm-hmm. and it reemerges because we now realize that we have suppressed it while we were caring for everybody else, while mm-hmm. we were in that phase of our lives where everybody else's needs were more important to us, then we pushed down that sexual trauma, that sexual abuse, that sexual molestation, harassment, whatever it was, abuse, rape, all of those things. And what I see in my practice, I don't know if you see it in yours, but I see these traumas reemerging and affecting the sexual relationship, mm-hmm. affecting who we are and what we want to be as women in this phase of our lives.
Yeah. I mean, I see that, and I see that at all ages, I would say, where it can reemerge. And it is, like you're saying, it can be dormant for a while, and somebody could be having kind of a, you know, happy sex life. And I think sometimes when we get in a really like safe feeling relationship that's like mm-hmm. secure and committed, that often that part will come out to be healed.
Yeah.
You know, it's not always a bad thing. It could just mean that like you're in a safe enough space to address it.
never, I don't believe that it's ever terrible for it to happen. I think I like your idea that it's when we're in a safe space, often in a safe space with a coach or a therapist.
Yep.
It can reemerge, but it's also good to have that safety in that relationship with your significant other or even with yourself.
Yeah. And that's what I was thinking is more so with the, like a safe relationship with a significant other. So it might kind of feel like, why am I getting triggered now? But it might be because you feel like this person is someone who can work through it with you and who can honor what you need and hear you about, you know, what you went through or what you need. So sometimes just feeling witnessed can be part of the healing.
There's an area for unconscious beliefs, as I think I brought up slightly, and it just sort of triggered me to talk about relationship with oneself. And I think for so many of us, we've been taught that was not an okay thing. And
that just being sexual or masturbation's not okay?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. That relationship with yourself, either in a relationship or if you don't have a primary relationship that is fulfilling those needs or desires, that it's okay. And those sex toys are okay.
I really look at it like it's all okay. Like, this is your body, you know, like we really deserve to be familiar with and know and experience our own bodies. I know we've gotten a lot of messages, like I was raised Catholic, so there are some pretty, you know, clear messages about like, don't have sex before marriage and, you know, masturbation is not good. And so I think a lot of us were for sure raised with that, and it lingers, you know, it's like how we were raised. It's like that initial programming can feel so true because it's like it was all we knew at a point. But, you know, as we do grow up and heal, we really get to choose like which beliefs make sense. And a lot of times we're left with, well, I think it's okay if someone else masturbates, or I think it's okay if someone else is sexual. I wouldn't judge them, but, you know, I shouldn't do it. So that comes up a lot. But yeah, so I, you know, I've chosen new beliefs in that area that serve me a lot better and kind of match, you know, what I would tell other people. But it can take some time. So I would also just tell people, like, you know, you might have to realize, you know, you're not going to burst into flames, you know.
And you're not going to burst into flames after death either. Sorry.
No, and I mean, some of the other beliefs I had growing up were also about, like pleasure and orgasm and all that. Fine. But like, I worry about disease. I worry about pregnancy. I worried about all the negatives around sex, because that's really, there's a lot of fear mongering. You know, and so as I got more educated on the subjects, realizing, okay, sex and orgasm are good for oxytocin. They're good for your lymphatic system. They're good for blood circulation, that there's actually value in bringing blood to your genitals just for the health of those organs.
Well, right? this is one way. There is no way to absolutely prevent vaginal atrophy or vaginal dryness, but there is something to be said for the use it or lose it.
Yes, and there really is.
If you are not in a relationship, then it is up to you, if you desire to be in a relationship, to make sure that you are taking care of that part of your body. And part of that is bringing the blood to that part of the body. And what does that is masturbation.
Right. And even if you don't want to be in a relationship, it's still your body, and it's still deserve to take care of your whole body, not just like putting lotion on your skin or going for a walk, you know. It's like your genitals are part of your body. So I think really spending some like mindful time with all parts of your body, but in particular, you know, parts that feel sexual, can be really helpful in terms of just getting more comfortable in your own skin and getting more comfortable eventually with a partner. Like Jean said, if you want to have that partner, So yeah, it can be an adventure. But I think when we really shift it, shift our thinking and choose our beliefs consciously, that can be very helpful.
Bring up one other thing that I think, I just, you know, it's just something that I think needs to be said. And that is, at this time of your life, you may find yourself with a different sexual orientation. Mm. And that's okay. You know, you may have chosen to spend the first part of your life raising children with a spouse of one mm-hmm. sex or the other, one gender or the other, whatever.
Yeah.
I get all mixed up with, sorry, I'm old. It's sometimes, you know, it's sometimes, wait a minute, is it gender or sex?
Yeah.
But it is also a time of life where you can explore those feelings that you may have. And the partner you choose for the rest of your life may not be the same kind of partner that you chose for the first part of your life. And you may find yourself in an asexual relationship or a bisexual relationship or a same-sex relationship or an opposite-sex relationship, that you might find yourself in this different way of looking at yourself mm-hmm. and your sexuality and who you really want to be at this time in your life. And it's okay.
Right. Right.
Just as we don't need to have one partner for our entire life. We don't have to have one identity for the rest of our lives.
Right.
Now, there you go. Sorry.
I was basically just going to agree. I think there's some good examples. There's an Instagram account called Late to Lesbian. I even think of Chriselle Staus from the Selling Sunset reality show. You know, choosing a partner who's non-binary now after being with, you know, men for a long time. So I think that it doesn't change who you identify as before. You know, it doesn't mean like, oh, that was not genuine or that was not valid or you were in mm-hmm. denial. Sometimes things do shift and flow. And so, yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up.
Yeah. So is there anything else that you'd like to cover here? I think we just completely left out the second half of what we were going to talk about. So that's okay. We'll do that another time.
Well, I did want to mention for people who are struggling where sex feels like more of a chore or you know, they've just lost their libido. I do have a free mini course for people. So they can grab that. I'll give you the link to put in the show notes, but they can also Great. Find that on my website, heathershannon.co. And it just helps people figure out what's going on, because one of the things I see with people is it's like, oh, we're not having sex. We just need to spice it up. And it's like, well, I don't know if that's what's causing that, you know? There's a lot of layers and factors that can go into it, which is part of what fascinates me about sex, is that it's very mind, body, spirit. There can be those, you know, hidden beliefs like we talked about mm-hmm. today. And so the intimacy audit helps people figure out, like, is this actually a libido issue? Is this more of a communication issue and, you know, getting crossed wires with initiating sex? Or is this actually a self-censorship issue, which is another interesting one, because people will come in and think, oh, I have a libido issue. And then they'll tell me that they're thinking about sex with their husband. And I'm kind of like, okay, so you're having sexual thoughts. And I'm like, are you saying them to him? Well, no. Okay. So I still think we should have a different issue going on here. So anyways, it'll help people with that first step of diagnosing what is actually going on so that you can address it properly.
And I would like to suggest that if your husband does not understand what's happening with you, at my site, menopausebooks.com, mm-hmm. which is one of my sites, you can order a copy of Where Is My Wife? What Have You Done With Her? You can either order that in or paperback form. And if you don't want him to read certain parts, just rip them out. But it is about reestablishing that relationship. And a lot of it is about helping him to understand that the relationship isn't the same as the relationship you may have had when you were 20.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really important to know. the first sex books I read before becoming a sex therapist even was Sexual Intelligence by Marty Klein. Great book. But he talks about like each decade, you need to kind of like reevaluate with your partner what works for us now sexually. You know, maybe it used to be spontaneous sex and then you had kids and then it was like we have to schedule and then you go through menopause and it's like, okay, maybe we're back to spontaneous or we need lube now or we need different positions or we need to try non-penetrative, you know, like the expectations need to shift with time.
Exactly.
You know, and that takes communication and some nurturing of your sex life.
Heather, so much to talk about, and I'd love to have you back sometime and talk about some more of these great issues that we're uncovering. Thank you so much. Ways to get in touch with Heather will be in the show notes. And thank you so much for listening today. This is Jean Andrus, and this has been Menopause Matters. Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this episode, please submit a rating and review and share it with a friend. Menopause has many annoying symptoms, but not many are worse than the lack of sleep. If you are one of the 90% of women who suffer from menopausal insomnia and or fatigue, I'd love to offer you my free download, 5 Tips to Get Better Sleep Tonight. You can get it at menopausematterspodcast.com/sleep. And let me know which of these tips works best for you.